is pandemonium. A bounty of $1 million was placed on the head of the Danish cartoonist by a Pakistani imam, who was apparently unaware that there were 12 different Danish cartoonists, and almost certainly unaware that the three most offensive pictures had never appeared in Denmark at all. And by the way, where was that million going to come from? In Nigeria, Muslim protesters against the Danish cartoons burned down several Christian churches and used machetes to attack and kill black Nigerian Christians in the streets. One Christian was put inside a rubber tire, doused with petrol, and set alight. Demonstrators were photographed in Britain bearing banners saying,
"Slay those who insult Islam, butcher those who mock Islam. Europe you will pay, demolition is on its way." And apparently without irony, behead those who say Islam is a violent religion.
In the aftermath of all this, the journalist Andrew Muller interviewed Britain's leading moderate Muslim, Sir Iqbal Sakrani. Moderate he may be by today's Islamic standards, but in Andrew Muller's account, he still stands by the remark he made when Salman Rushdie was condemned to death for writing a novel. "Death is perhaps too easy for him." A remark that sets him in ignominious contrast to his courageous predecessor as Britain's most influential Muslim, the late Dr. Zaki Badawi, who offered Salman Rushdie sanctuary in his own home. Sakrani told Muller how concerned he was about the Danish cartoons. Muller was concerned too, but for a different reason. "I am concerned that the ridiculous, disproportionate reaction to some unfunny sketches in an obscure Scandinavian newspaper may confirm that Islam and the West are fundamentally irreconcilable." Sakrani, on the other hand, praised British newspapers for not reprinting the cartoons, to which Muller voiced the suspicion of most of the nation that the restraint of British newspapers derived less from sensitivity to Muslim discontent than it did from a desire not to have their windows broken.
Sakrani explained that
the person of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is revered so profoundly in the Muslim world with a love and affection that cannot be explained in words. It goes beyond your parents, your loved ones, your children. That is part of the faith. There is also an Islamic teaching that one does not depict the Prophet.
This rather assumes, as Muller observed,
that the values of Islam trump anyone else's, which is what any follower of Islam does assume, just as any follower of any religion believes that theirs is the sole way, truth, and light. If people wish to love a 7th century preacher more than their own families, that's up to them, but nobody else is obliged to take it seriously.
Except that if you don't take it seriously and accord it proper respect, you are physically threatened on a scale that no other religion has aspired to since the Middle Ages. One can't help wondering why such violence is necessary, given that, as Muller notes, "if any of you clowns are right about anything, the cartoonists are going to hell anyway. Won't that do? In the meantime, if you want to get excited about affronts to Muslims, read the Amnesty International reports on Syria and Saudi Arabia."
Many people have noted the contrast between the hysterical hurt professed by Muslims and the readiness with which Arab media publish stereotypical anti-Jewish cartoons. At a demonstration in Pakistan against the Danish cartoons, a woman in a black burqa was photographed carrying a banner reading, "God bless Hitler." In response to all this frenzied pandemonium, decent liberal newspapers deplored the violence and made token noises about free speech. But at the same time, they expressed respect and sympathy for the deep offence and hurt that Muslims had suffered. The hurt and suffering consisted, remember, not in any person enduring violence or real pain of any kind. Nothing more than a few daubs of printing ink in a newspaper that nobody outside Denmark would ever have heard of but for a deliberate campaign of incitement to mayhem.
I am not in favour of offending or hurting anyone just for the sake of it, but I am intrigued and mystified by the disproportionate privileging of religion in our otherwise secular societies. All politicians must get used to disrespectful cartoons of their faces, and nobody riots in their defence. What is so special about religion that we grant it such uniquely privileged respect? As H.L. Mencken said,
"We must respect the other fellow's religion, but only in the sense and to the extent that we respect his theory that his wife is beautiful and his children smart.
It is in the light of this unparalleled presumption of respect for religion that I make my own disclaimer for this book. I shall not go out of my way to offend, but nor shall I don kid gloves to handle religion any more gently than I would handle anything else.